because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws, too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people try to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing wet. Taking your right to self-defense. They say you're safer, but they don't make sense. Not turn into guns. All the unions always ask for. All we buy is made on foreign shores. Come a day when there'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Tim Tap, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. If you are not listening at the time of the live broadcast, just so that you know when this show was live, we're broadcasting August 6th, 2019. Just a few moments after 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We are scheduled to be joined here at the bottom of the hour by Mr. Dan Wose. Dan, of course, is the author of Good Gun, Bad Guy and Good Gun, Bad Guy Part 2, and several articles that have been featured prominently as of late. He'll be joining us to discuss, of course, the latest gun control debates and how, of course, the shootings in El Paso and Dayton and Gilroy are all going to factor into the left push in the wakes of the tragedies. We're going to, of course, hear and see. And it started the instant people knew about it. But we'll discuss that as the time approaches. I want to give shouts out to both Bigfoot and Chief, who are already in the chat room. First folks in. Technically, Chief just barely edged Bigfoot out. Chief, of course, is host of Simple Facts of Life, a great program that can be found at blogtalkradio.com. He does his thing live on Wednesdays, starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. You can adjust your time zone accordingly. Great program, only on for 30 minutes, but he wraps it up very nicely, well worth the while. Bigfoot. Well, he doesn't take to the microphone very often, if at all, but he blogs like nobody's business. And if you have not already checked it out, if you listen to this show or any of Kel's shows and you have not checked out Bigfoot's blogs, what are you waiting for? Come on, people. Bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Get your happy backsides over there and check it out. And meanwhile, as I actually seem to be having some issues with my voice, that's not good. We'll push through, though. Going to start off with the story that's kind of a follow-up to the story we've been watching. Transgender activist Jessica Yanos responded to allegations of having inappropriate online contact with minors during an interview with YouTuber Blair White that posted this past Monday. Now, this is an issue because for those of you who remember the transgendered biological man, Yanov, was trying to get permission to have a partial nudity underage swim party. He's kind of a, well, kind of a bit of a weirdo, transgender claims aside. It seems to me like he's a pedophile utilizing transgenderism as an excuse based on everything that I've seen. Anyway, as one might imagine, the interview was anything but ordinary. At about an hour into questioning from White, Yanov brandished a taser, bragging that such a weapon is in fact illegal in Canada, which of course is where Yanov is. Yanov's home was reportedly raided the following day due to the weapon brandishing. This reported by the Post Millennial this past Tuesday. Yanov, who has made headlines over the past year for targeting these female estheticians because he wanted them, and I say he because he is still a biological male, Yanov wanted his male genitalia to be waxed, and these female estheticians said, no way, forget it, pal. So we do not do that, no. Anyway, he's been harassing them and suing them and taking them to the human rights tribunals and the whole nine yards since then. But at any rate, Yanov denied sending these predatory messages, which was a breaking story when last we spoke about them. Some of these were confirmed to have come from the so-called activist verified Facebook account, according to the Post-Millennial. And while simultaneously admitting that Yanov sought out underage girls for another job, whatever that might be, Yanov also admitted to sending voice messages in so-called baby voice. But the contention there was that they were sent to a friend of his, I'm insisting on calling him, but a friend that was of age and not an underage girl. Yanov claimed to be dumbfounded as to how they ended up in the messages to the 15-year-old minor. The so-called activist also noted that it would be perfectly fine for him to attend a pool party with topless 12-year-old girls. Question asked directly by White, quote, how would you respond to all the allegations of you sending messages, tweets, emails, etc., to underage girls asking them about their pads, their tampons, their menstrual cycles, and saying that if they were a little older, you would be with them? Well, the answer was, and I'm quoting again, unfortunately, I do have to say that they are fake. Well, we weren't exactly expecting an admission on a YouTube channel, were we? The activist said, and I feel dirty calling him an activist, but the activist said that back in 2012 and 2013 that he worked for a popular girl band of six singing sisters and had to reach out to underage girls. Quote, when I handled their social media, what I did was I reached out on my Twitter and said, hey, how old are you? To create almost like a fan base. Yeah, anybody else buying this? Because I'm not. Okay, so White, to her credit, bluntly asked that Yanov was bluntly said that Yanov was lying about the messages being fake, saying, quote, there are tweets going back from 2011, 2012, 2013 of people talking about your inappropriate conduct. Also, if you look all of those screenshots of you messaging girls underage, It's not like they came after you rose to infamy with your waxing scandal and got media attention. They were before. So I'm wondering what the motivation would be of strangers on the internet to Photoshop hundreds of screenshots of you being inappropriate with young girls before you even got notoriety. Yanoff dismissed White's reasoning, again claiming that the messages weren't sent from Yanoff. White moved on to Yanoff's allegedly sending a 15-year-old girl voice messages of baby noises. In a report from the Post-Millennial published in July, Jessica Rample came forward with said messages, and Yanoff was singing in an Elmo voice about Rample's breast bouncing up and down, for example. Now, Yanoff's explanation there was those messages were indeed from him, but they were sent to a different friend. Yanoff is not sure how they ended up with Rumple, who was 15 years old at the time. At least one voice message specifically mentions Miss Rumple by her first and last name, making this explanation also, well, we'll be kind and say difficult to accept. As you can imagine, the interview went on from there, and I'm not going to waste any more time. The point of the matter is, this deranged individual was being taken to task by a member of the LGBTQ community, a person who actually claims to be transgendered herself, and she's not having it. She sees through this guy's BS. I highly recommend, if you are the least bit interested, to check out the remainder of the interview going to their YouTube channel. I'm not going to spend any more time talking about it other than to say that I think the next time we'll be talking about Yanoff, we'll be discussing potential jail time in his future. The conversation, however, is really going to be about whether or not there's going to be a male prison or a female prison in his future. I'm so hoping it's a male prison, but hey, it's Canada. We'll see what happens. All right, another quick story before we transition to the midway point. No Tap Into the Truth broadcast would be complete these days without some mention of some member of the squad. And we're back to my favorite, oh, the first one, Miss Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Not only was it making news yet again today that her former chief of staff suddenly resigned and is now under investigation, both a federal investigation and a federal elections commission investigation. So there's two separate federal investigations going on. But Ocasio-Cortez, in an attempt to, well, you know, just be Ocasio-Cortez, slammed Mitch McConnell over a quote that his campaign actually never said. Do tell, Tim. Do tell. Representative, Democratic Socialist, member of the Justice Democrats, and leader of the squad, Miss Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez blasted Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell today, Tuesday, for statements that his campaign actually never issued. Now, the incident first began after a photograph of a group of young men donning the Majority Leader's campaign T-shirts and posing with a cutout of the New York Congresswoman circulated around social media. The picture was taken over the weekend at the annual Fancy Farm picnic in Kentucky and was posted to Instagram with the caption, "Break me off a piece of that fancy farm." Okay, so, hey, McConnell, these young men look like they work for you. Now, Ocasio-Cortez is, of course, referencing the picture. Just want to clarify, are you paying young men to practice groping and choking members of Congress with your payroll? Or is this just the standard culture of Hashtag Team Mitch. Thanks. Now, a spokesperson for the McConnell campaign responded to Ocasio-Cortez, denying that the group has any affiliation with the Senate Majority Leader. He further slammed the self-proclaimed radical congresswoman and left-wing media for using the picture to demonize, stereotype, and publicly castigate every young person who dares to get involved with Republican politics, saying, quote, "These young men are not campaign staff. They're high schoolers." This from Kevin Golden, McConnell's campaign manager. And this was in a general statement that was released not long after the accusation. Kevin Golden continues saying, quote, "It's incredible that the national media has sought to once again paint a target on their backs rather than report real and significant news in our country." Team Mitch is in no way condones any aggressive, suggestive, or demeaning act towards life-sized cardboard cutouts of any gender. I almost get the feeling that there was some level of sarcasm there. At any rate, the campaign later followed up in a series of tweets contending that the freshman congresswoman and liberal Twitter personalities are trying to publicly reveal the personal information of the minors, and further stated that the same individuals, quote, "are cheering on thousands of accountants calling for Senator McConnell to break his neck." Several, the thousands of accounts. Have you heard about this? I mean, there's not much talk about it in the media, but the Massacre Mitch hashtag. Anyway, the campaign Twitter account also posted a video of an angry left-wing mob that showed up at McConnell's private residence only a night prior. On the recording, protesters can be heard wishing harm upon the senator, and that is putting it very nicely, such as saying they hope somebody would, quote, "just stab the mother effer in the heart." Of course, they used the whole term. McConnell's been recovering from a broken shoulder after he fell in his home, and they literally have made the determination that they're not going to let him rest or convalesce. Tons of horrific statements being hurled at him, all kinds of noise being made, and yet we're castigated into being told that it's only the right, it is only conservatives, it's only the people like you and me who are the violent ones, who are the propagators of hostilities, that it's only our rhetoric that leads to violence against people like them. The Daily Beast reported on the heated exchange on Tuesday, but rather than quoting McConnell's response, well, you know, they being a left-leaning news outlet, so they claim, misleadingly paraphrased the comment when posting the article to the brand's Twitter account. Quote, "Mitch McConnell's campaign manager essentially says boys will be boys in response to the image of teens groping and choking a cutout of Ocasio-Cortez." The Daily Beast tweeted along with the published article. Let me say that again. This is an example of why people call you fake news. Mitch McConnell's campaign manager essentially says boys will be boys, and a response to the image of teens groping and choking a cutout of Ocasio-Cortez. That is not what he said. That is not even close. I told you what he said. You heard the official response. But I'm sure that was code. You see, it was code. It was code for boys will be boys. And we're going to buy a bunch of more Ocasio-Cortez cutouts. We're going to be like straight out of the movie Major League. We're going to get a cutout of Ocasio-Cortez with removable – she's going to start out with a full Hillary Clinton-style pantsuit, and every young boy who commits some ridiculous groping or choking act to the real live Ocasio-Cortez gets to run up to the cardboard cutout and start removing pieces of clothing to you. Get her down to... Well, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, go back and see Major League. The original. Don't watch the other two. Or actually, I think there's three after that. I don't recall. The first one. Go watch the first one. Ocasio-Cortez immediately seized upon the made-up statement, of course, and further implied that the majority leader has an agenda against women. And of course, you know, that's not even in code. It's out there in the open. Mitch McConnell is such a misogynist, isn't he? I mean, for the love of all that's holy in heaven, I've never seen a bigger misogynist, except, of course, for Orange Man, Bad Donald Trump, Kicker of Puppy and Eater of Babies. Yes, yes. Mitch McConnell is only number two, but he is far, far above number three in the misogyny. His agenda against women is obvious. Ooh, and you know what? Even more obvious is it's not just women. It's women of color. AOC, maybe you would like to do a few minutes research into who Mitch McConnell's married to. Women of color. Ocasio-Cortez replied to the boys will be boys, quoting the Daily Beast, and then said, is that also the reason why you've chosen to block the Violence Against Women Act, too? It prevents dating partners with records of abuse and stalking women. Also an early warning sign from many mass shooters from obtaining a gun. Well, as we've talked about on this show with a couple of different guests, the Violence Against Women Act actually doesn't really do anything to protect women, but it does tend to make it very difficult for any man who is accused with no due process of bad things of suddenly having an uphill road to just being an average everyday citizen thereafter. It's not a good thing. It's written too broadly, and it's done so on purpose. Don't think for a second. We don't live in a world anymore where there are unintended consequences for these bills. These people look long and hard, and that's why they spend so much time writing them. That's why there's so many pages involved with them. They're trying to sneak in as much stupid crap as they can. And then they'll turn around and say, oh, you mean that means we can do this? We didn't know. Well, it still does some important stuff, though, so we'll have to be very careful about how we undo the bad. Or, you know what, maybe we should just live with those consequences because the upside is so important. Sound anything like the current argument for red flag laws? Now, the New York congresswoman followed up with two identical tweets questioning where McConnell stands on the issues such as H.R. 8, a bill establishing background checks between private parties, and H.R. 1112, I was trying to make sure I had the right number of ones there, House Resolution 1112, dubbed the Charleston Loophole Bill. Excuse me. Boys will be held accountable for their actions, starting with Mitch McConnell, according to Ocasio-Cortez, who tweeted that along with hashtag Where's Mitch. AOC, Mitch is at home recuperating from his broken shoulder. Do not pretend like you did not know. I love AOC. She's awesome. Awesomely annoying. Stupendously stupid. She just talks a lot of talking points. She repeats the Justice Democrats. She repeats their stuff over and over again, and it gets just so mind-boggling them. But it sounds a lot like what we've become accustomed to, quite honestly. All right, we're quickly approaching time for the Edwards Notebook, and then the Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. And at that point, we will be joined by Second Amendment activist, Mr. Dan Walsh. Let me double check here and make sure I've got the correct numbers. We'll be calling them here momentarily. And, well, stay with me. I will be right back, guys. Assuming I can get my tech to cooperate. Here we go.
Numerous leftist black American so-called leaders engaged in a fit of rage after President Trump accurately described the ratty conditions of Baltimore. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards on today's page from the Edwards Notebook. In 2018, corrupt former Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh exclaimed, quote, "You can smell the rotting rats," unquote. No one complained about her remarks, and she was never asked to explain why she never instituted a plan to clean away the nasty critters. A recent story about the Baltimore Deputy Police Commissioner being robbed at gunpoint by four human hood rats while he was out to dinner with his wife did not raise any eyebrows. In fact, not one Democrat official, including the hallowed Representative Elijah Cummings, uttered a peep about that lowbrow affair. But along comes President Trump, who has done more to set in motion good economic policies that have opened the door to more jobs for black Americans than ever before. However, because Trump dared to call Baltimore a disgusting rat-infested rat hole, he was roundly condemned for merely echoing what do-nothing-good Democrats have already stated. Such blatant hypocrisy and politically motivated complaining will ensure left-leaning blacks remain exactly where Democrats want them, to be left behind now preferred illegal border crossers. Please follow me on Twitter at the Ron Edwards. I'm Ron Edwards.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
This is Dan Perkins from Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Have you noticed that interest rates on home loans have dropped at least 1% in the last 6 months? Did you miss the opportunity to refi your home mortgage the last time interest rates were heading lower? Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. Get focused and know the facts of your existing mortgage. So go to the safe or the shoebox, wherever you have important papers, and look through it and find your mortgage. Next, look through it and find out these three things. When did you take out the loan? The year. How much did you borrow? The amount. And what is the interest rate? Percentage. Write this down on a sticky and put it on the fridge and start looking at bankrate.com for mortgage interest rate. If the new rate is 1% or more lower than the rate on the fridge, start looking at a refi. Remember, a refi puts money in your pocket. This has been Dan Perkins with your Veterans Tip of the Day.
First, AOC said it, and now Lindsey Graham is wondering if we should begin backing off of fossil fuels. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards on today's page from the Edwards Notebook. During the 1980s, actor Ted Danson said that we had about 10 years and it would be over for mankind forever. Vice President Al Gore, who claimed to invent the Internet, also proclaimed on January 27, 2006, that we humans would be wiped out in 10 years unless we saved the planet. From what? Recently, AOC declared it would be curtains for mankind in 12 years if we did not get rid of cow flatulence and stop flying airplanes. Now, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has joined the clamoring chorus, blaming mankind for climate change. Well, I hate to break it to you, Senator Graham, but fossil fuels and cow flatulence do not change the climate. The climate changes all the time and has been both hotter and colder than it is now. One volcano can emit enough carbon into the atmosphere to block out enough sunlight to lower the Earth's temperature. Honestly, Senator Graham, you are astute enough to recognize there are far more pressing matters than the massively growing Antarctica ice pack and warmer temperatures in the Midwest. Don't miss the Ron Edwards Experience Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on AmericaMatters.us. I'm Ron Edwards.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Do you remember when you were in basic training or your first duty assignment? I do. What about those men and women who trained with you? Have you ever wondered what happened to them? I have. What about some of the people who served with you a good part of the time you were in the military? Ever wonder what happened to them? I have. Do you think they might also be wondering what happened to you? I think so. Would you like to find out? Here is your veteran's tip of the day. Find out about your buddies by joining TogetherWeServed.com. This is a free service, and TWS has reunited over 1.8 million vets in all branches of the service, and they can help you find your friends. You may be surprised at who you can find. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
Did Mayor de Blasio sell out the citizens of New York City and that city's police force? Hello, I'm Ron Edwards on today's page from the Edwards Notebook. New York Mayor de Blasio is on a mad mission to destroy the greatest city in the world, New York City. It's bad enough that homies from Harlem and some brainless Brooklynites were allowed to assault police officers who don't have permission to go hard after physical offenders. And to add insult to injury, New York City residents are under assault by criminals emboldened by Mayor de Blasio preventing police officers from doing their jobs in order to appease certain people who prefer law-abiding citizens to be threatened instead of thugs who should be thwarted. Even more insulting are Muslims patrolling streets in cars that look exactly like NYPD patrol cars. The Muslim community patrols have raised concerns among many New Yorkers who have decried the Muslim patrol as similar to Sharia police. Why so-called community Muslim patrols are even allowed in the greatest city in the world is beyond me. Wake up, America, and join me Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on AmericaMatters.us. I'm Ron Edwards.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I had to play a little bit of technical fun and games here, but we finally got Dan with us. So thank you for your patience. And Dan, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's been a little while since we had a conversation, but once this stuff broke out with all the expected political push for gun control, and I just knew it was going to happen. I saw your article that happened just before this started in regards to how New York had basically tried to move to create these just massive gun-free zones and deny the ability for school systems to even have the option to arm their teachers if they wanted to. And it was a great article. You made a lot of great points, and then all this broke loose. And what I really want to talk about is your take on, first of all, the real impact that the three mass shootings in the past week are going to have in the land of politics, and then we'll work back towards common sense.
Sure. Okay. Well, thanks for having me, Tim, on your show. I really appreciate it. These incidents always have a negative effect on gun rights, and because ultimately the anti-gun crowd jumps on like a pack of wolves, and they lie, they create fake, you know, false narratives, they use fearful rhetoric, and they use every strategy and tactic possible to scare everyone, including the president, including lawmakers, into pushing for more gun restrictions. Now, the people on the left, the Democrats in Congress and our governors and people like that, they're just waiting for an excuse to start pushing more, you know, more regulations, more restrictions. They know this stuff doesn't work. They know that gun restrictions ultimately put good people in danger because they limit our access to protect ourselves and our families. And they also know, because studies and research has been done, that gun restrictions, you know, the bad guys really pay no attention, pay zero attention to gun restrictions, especially the gun-free zone things, like I talked about in that article. So they know it's destructive. They know it puts people's lives in danger. They don't care because politics right now is a blood sport, and Democrats are doing everything they possibly can to destroy. It would seem that they're doing everything they can to destroy America, but they really just need to get back into power desperately, so they're doing everything they can. Taking away rights, gun rights, is very important to them because it limits the leverage that their opposition has. And we, the good people of America, real Americans, conservatives, people who uphold the Constitution and Bill of Rights, we, to them, are considered the enemy and the opposition.
Right. Well, you know, in your books, Good Gun, Bad Guy, you had the first one and then the follow-up. You kind of break the gun grabbers crowd into three different categories, and we talked about that when you were on here last. So what we really are seeing right now is some opportunistic folks wanting to take advantage. Then we have some well-intended individuals who don't know what to do, and they're willing to react emotionally in any fashion. But right now we're also seeing a lot of people who typically have leaned to the conservative side, if not been flat out there. One of the most amazing things to me I saw over the weekend was when Trey Gowdy talked about, and I didn't sense he was being sarcastic about it, that he'd be willing to trade away a few rights if they could save lives and offer security for children. It's just mind-boggling to see this. And the political side actually has kind of put Donald Trump in a lose-lose situation because he has to look like he's doing something. But at the same time, we're being nudged in this direction. Whatever he does do, our rights are going to be eroded. And we're going to be facing this erosion not because of anything that we've done. We haven't done anything wrong. These individuals who obviously are so devoted to their delusional mindset, whether it's a political ideology or whether it's a video game fantasy or just flat out want to be a super soldier for Antifa, whatever the ideology is and whatever moves them forward, that's irrelevant to the cause unless you can prove a political causal effect. Everybody wants to point fingers. Everybody wants to blame Donald Trump. But what really concerns me more than anything is it seems like the fallback position has been red flag laws. And I've got to tell you, Dan, I want to know what your take on red flag law in general are. But they concern me because I don't know that you can write one that's narrow enough to do any good and still protect both due process and gun ownership rights.
Yeah, you're right. And I did a video called Red Flag Laws Kill, and people can find that on YouTube. Yeah, and you're right. And what's happening is you're talking about, you know, we talked about a few different categories of people, the opportunistic ones, the ones who really just don't know any better and they're just scared of guns and want to see guns go away. But then there's the people in the middle who otherwise seem to be pretty conservative and supporting the Constitution and Bill of Rights, Second Amendment in particular. but there have been a couple people that have kind of strayed to the anti-Second Amendment side. And I put Dan Crenshaw and President Trump himself in that category. I didn't see what Trey Gowdy said, but it's disappointing to hear you say that. I'll have to go back and look. But the idea of red flag laws is very scary, and the reason is because it gives judges and police departments the leverage to go into people's homes without due process, without search warrants, or maybe there is a search warrant involved, I'm not quite sure, but it's without due process and take guns from people because of anything as simple as an accusation from a friend or family member. Now, the intention might be good. You know, the intention might be, well, we want to stop the crazy people before they do anything bad. You know, what I think we really should be doing is looking at mental health facilities and pharmaceutical drugs and looking in that area, which we're not, because they don't seem to be able to understand those problems well enough to go after that. So they just want to go after the gun. So what they want to do is they want to be able to go into your home, take your gun, if they think you're a threat to yourself or others. It's scary. And then the person would have to go to court, prove themselves innocent in order to regain their rights and get their guns back. And it's a real scary thing. Now, we talk about the bad guys, the crazies. Yeah, of course we don't want them to have guns. But in the process, you're creating a policy and you're creating a law that makes it very easy for good people to be subjected to this. That's the dangerous part. I mean, anybody can be subjected to this terrible and dangerous law. So we have to fight back on that. And President Trump really needs to talk to some people from the pro-gun side of the conversation and really understand what the heck the effects are going to be of this sort of thing. Gary Willis in Maryland is killed. He's dead because of red flag laws. And I'm just disappointed that President Trump is saying what he's saying. I hope he's just saying it to shut the Democrats up. But I have a feeling that if it came across his desk, he would sign it. With good intentions, of course, but I don't think he's paying close enough attention to the effects.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's any question that there's still a lot of information that Donald Trump needs to be presented with before he goes too far down this road. I think the state of Colorado is another great example. I mean, Colorado literally has half of the sheriffs in the state that are flat out refusing to take action on the current red flag law that they've instituted, because it is so vaguely written that you can anonymously report anyone, and then you have to wait a minimum of 30 days before you can have your first hearing to see if you have to undergo mental evaluation before you can begin the process of getting your firearms back. Tell me how there's any due process there.
Yeah, there isn't. And up here in New York where I live, Governor Cuomo is really being a tyrant with gun laws, and the red flag laws that they passed give school officials or school certified, let me get the correct term here, it's certified school staff. It gives certified school staff the right and the ability to determine if a child in school is a possible threat. So in an example would be little Johnny maybe gets in a fight in the playground, and a certified person at school would be a substitute teacher or a teacher's assistant, somebody who's clearly not qualified to determine the mental stability of people. But that certified, you know, substitute teacher could say little Johnny's a threat. Well, then next thing you know, the cops are going to Big Johnny's house and taking his guns. And this is a terrible thing. These people have no right, no ability, or no, you know, they should not be given this ability to determine who is mentally stable and who isn't. But Governor Cuomo signed that into law. So we have to fight this stuff back. We cannot just let this go. And fortunately, we have gun rights organizations like Gun Owners of America that are really fighting hard for these things. And there's a lot of these cases in court now.
All right. Well, I mean, that is the good side. But when we have events happen like what we've just seen over this last weekend, and the media wanting to push such a ridiculous narrative to go along with it, we get to see all the vitriol of the left, and we get to see a lot of folks that are kind of middle of the roads thinking that, yeah, something has to happen. We saw it right after Sandy Hook, where I knew personally several very diehard conservatives, very much Second Amendment folks, who started to question. And I was like, well, maybe it is time to look. It's like, no, you can't waiver it, because the only thing that it was absolutely astounding in these cases that the police were able to react as quickly as they did, both in El Paso. It obviously wasn't quick enough, but then also in Dayton as well. In fact, the police did well in Guilford as well. But the bottom line is, usually you can't count on the police to be able to react that quickly. Even the best cops have to have reaction time. I want to know where all the concealed carry folks were in Texas. You can't tell me that in the city of El Paso, that with that many people at that shopping center, somebody wasn't carrying nearby. How does this happen?
Yeah, that's a question I had too. I don't know. I can't answer the question. I mean, unless, you know, typically, on average, there's anywhere from 5% of the population to up to like 11% of concealed carriers. That means that at any given time, one out of 20 people is at least licensed to carry. And that doesn't take into consideration the states that are constitutional carry, where you don't need a license. So typically, in other words, if you're at the grocery store, you're at a Walmart, and there are 60 people in the store, theoretically there will be 3 concealed carry holders there. So I don't know why. Maybe they just weren't around. I mean, that's possible, you know. You talked a little bit about the response time from the police, and it was really quick. One of those killings over the weekend was within 30 seconds or something, because the police were right there, and one was within 6 minutes, which is a little more average. That's a little more normal. The thing that I saw instantly when I heard those quick response times was the anti-gun crowd was touting that. They were saying how quick the cops responded. And they've been pushing that, which it's a good thing. But the reason they're pushing it is because they're trying to put together another narrative that will probably be coming down the pike, that there's no need for concealed carry because the cops are responding very quickly. So I've been in conversations ever since this happened, and you know, one person said, well, Dan, don't you – look at that, 30 seconds. Don't you think that was quick enough? You know, the cops are doing really great. They're responding very quickly. You know, nobody needs concealed. You don't need to be carrying a gun with you. And I said, you know, in that 30 seconds, you know, look how many people died in 30 seconds. You know, you tell me, was that quick enough? Did it save lives? It may have, but it also, a lot of people did die. I would prefer 3 seconds, enough time for a concealed carry holder to pull a gun out of his belt and take care of the problem. 3 seconds is much better than 30 seconds.
Yes, absolutely. And that is the real crux of the argument, or at least needs to continue to be. Whenever you take guns away from law-abiding citizens, all you do is endanger the public, as you already mentioned. And as we've stated almost at nauseam at this point, criminals don't care what laws you pass. That's why we've been able to get rid of all the drugs in the country, right? We've made drugs illegal. It's really solved the problem. It is astounding. And, you know, I've got several folks in the chat room that are making the point, and it's a very good point. When you look at gun owners in the country, the law-abiding, legal gun owners, particularly conservatives, you know, we've got so many firearms. We have so many rounds of ammunition. If we were the problem, the way the media is trying to push this is all Donald Trump, this is all conservatives because of Donald Trump. If we were the problem, this problem would have been settled a long time ago. We would have literally killed everybody we disagree with, and the dust would have settled by now. We're not the problem. We tend to be the side that's willing to talk, because we both understand that gun is a tool. It is not a problem solver, unless the problem is you're endangering me and my family. Dan, the time is already flying by so quickly, and I definitely wanted to have some time to flip a little bit. What are some common sense solutions in your mind of ways to try and improve the situation without us having to sacrifice God-given, constitutionally enshrined rights?
Well, I would love to see a friendlier gun narrative in this country. I would love to see the ability of fathers to be able to take their sons to the range. I would like to see, firearms training in schools. I would like to see guns be the piece of America that they always have been, that very important piece of American culture. And that's where we have to start. We really do have psycho people in this country that we need to figure out what's going on with the mental health stuff. There's drug issues. There's all sorts of nonsense that's causing this violence. It's human violence. It's not gun violence. But that's one piece. The other piece is to change the narrative. People like you and me, we need to help people understand that, guns are a healthy part of our culture, and they're good. Guns aren't bad. They're good. And they save 2.5 million lives per year. Sometimes just the mere presence of a gun, most often just the mere presence of a gun will save a life, not even being used. So guns are a good thing, but the narrative is so twisted and backwards that we just need to keep telling people the truth. And unfortunately, until some people are in a situation where they need a gun, they will continue to denounce guns because they're so driven by fear of guns and a hatred toward gun owners that the left perpetuates on a daily basis. So it's terrible, but we need to turn that narrative around. And I think talking at the dinner table, talking with friends, talking with people at work, and helping them feel comfortable with the conversation of guns will help. It'll help a lot.
Yeah, I think that is a big part of it. I can attest to the fact that down here in Tennessee, there's still a strong hunting and fishing culture down here. I can tell you point blank, the earlier you start teaching children gun safety and respect for what a gun can do and what it's for, the more responsible these folks are as they grow up. And I think another big issue, you've mentioned mental health. Obviously, that is part of it. But I think far bigger than that, a lot of these health issues arise from the quest for something that's missing. I think we have far too many families that do not have a positive male role model, too many families growing up without a father in the house. And that cannot be it can't be underestimated, the importance there.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. You're right. That is probably the most important thing. A mom and a dad in the family, in the household, eating dinner at night with the children, discussing their lives, is the most important thing. And people have disregarded it, mostly people on the left with this new left-wing liberal progressive ideology. It wants to cut that stuff, that most wholesome and that most most positive stuff, out of the American culture. That's the problem. It's this demonization of traditional American values that's destroying this country. It's shameful, and you watch it happen. Now, we didn't do that. My wife and I, we made sure that we had dinner with my son every night. We talked about stuff. We would discuss issues that we might be having, and we'd go deep on these topics, and we'd really get a good understanding of who we are, what our struggles are, and how to fix them, and how to be productive in life, and how to be helpful and caring. And that stuff is, the left is trying to take that out of our culture. That's where we need to focus.
Yeah, sadly, I'm afraid the left is built on the overwhelming power of the state. And in order for that to work, particularly here in America, is they need victims. Everybody needs to be a victim. And I guess sometimes to have enough victims, they need a body count. And I hate to put it that bluntly, but there are some people that are willing to sacrifice hundreds of thousands of people to push their agenda, and I think that's part of what we're seeing played out. Dan, again, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I know you've been trying to take a little bit of a break from the interview circuit, and unfortunately stuff like this happens, and it drags you right back in, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, that's okay. No problem. I appreciate you wanting my opinion on this stuff. So anytime, just give me a call, Tim. Anytime you want, I'm there.
All right. Well, before you go, sir, please let everybody know where they can find your work. And if you're still inviting people to follow you on social media, share that. And any websites that you want to, whether it's related to your Second Amendment work or anything else you want to share.
Well, yep. My name's Dan Wass. I can be found on all the social media platforms, you know, Facebook, Twitter, the new Parler, trying that one out. Supposed to be conservative friendly. And last name is spelled Wass, W-O-S. First name is Dan. And my books can be found at goodgunbadguy.net or goodgunbadguy.com, or you can search for Good Gun Bad Guy on Amazon.
All right. Again, thank you so much, Dan. And something tells me we'll be talking again real soon.
I look forward to it, Tim. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dan Wass. You know, and Dan's dead on. I love his work. If you haven't read his stuff, I highly recommend it. In the show description here at BTR, I did put a link to his most recent article, as well as links to the books and the link to his home website as well. So you guys can check that out. If you're not listening at the BTR platform, like you said, just check those things out. Or you can come over to the blogtalkradio.com website, look up Tap Into the Truth, find tonight's episode, and you can find it from there. Want to give a quick shout-out once again to everybody hanging out in the chat room as I'm about to shut things down. Once again, Bigfoot, check out his work at bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. We got Chief hanging out, host of Simple Facts of Life. You can find him at blogtalkradio.com. Sarge joined us. Glad to have you in here, Sarge. Thanks for participating in the chat room, being vocal. Flycatch was here for a little bit, and he boogied out before we got to this point, but appreciate Flycatch hanging with us for a little bit. And Boyd the Alaskan is here with us as well. Guys, thank you so much for joining me tonight. That's going to have to be it. I will be back tomorrow night live starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. Going to have Ken Crow and Ron Edwards joining me. Going to put them in a little bit of a sandwich. We'll be talking about probably mostly the same topics with some different points of views. Ken will be starting off the show. And in the middle between Ken and then the second hour where Ron will join us, I've got a guest that's going to be a little bit of a break from politics. There's a musical about Princess Diana. And I had actually booked this lady before all of this stuff happened because, you know, in the political cycle, especially election cycle, I thought it might be a welcome break. So we'll definitely still have her on in between. And hopefully it'll be fun. And meanwhile, that's going to be it for me tonight. Remember, boys and girls, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in some effort, but more importantly, to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. By the way, check out patriotmusic.com when you get a chance. That's Matt Fitzgibbons. This is one of his tunes, and it seems so appropriate. I'm out, guys. Great night. Hope to see you all tomorrow. Just a little squirrel.
control is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Gun control is using both hands. Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. Gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family. Using both hands.